From Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse, this is Newsmakers. I'm Maureen McCollum. In this half hour of Newsmakers, the growing importance of public school education foundations. 25 years ago, they rarely existed. But today, if a teacher wants new technology in the classroom, or if students are going to take a field trip, an increasing number of schools are setting up foundations to fund the extras that no longer exist in most K-12 budgets. Wisconsin Public Radio's Steve Roysom recently sat down with Jeeva Thull, Executive Director of the La Crosse Public Education Foundation, and Lori Berg, President of the Onalaska Foundation for Educational Excellence. They talked about the role foundations play in education. Lori Berg talks about the Onalaska Foundation, formed 13 years ago.
I think in our case, the foundation was first. A group of people got together, decided they wanted to get the community more involved in the schools in Onalaska. And so that was their purpose of getting how they got started.
Jeeva, we talked a little bit earlier, and it sounds like in your case, it was the issue and then the foundation.
Correct. There were a group of people in the community who saw that district budgets were really getting tight, and they knew that teachers had some innovative projects they wanted to try in their classroom, but they just couldn't afford to do them. So a group of community members came together. They were passionate about public education, and they decided to form this foundation, and that was about 23 years ago, and we've just grown ever since.
I guess how the foundations changed since they started, have they sort of evolved over the years? Lori, I'll go with you first.
Well, I believe ours, you know, it started as a way of getting business involved, but has now become where we actually see needs in the schools with students that we have to try to help them with. We're just starting a new program called Acts of Kindness, where the principals are able to provide things such as reading glasses for a student or instrument rental, you know, because they can't afford them themselves.
Jeeva, how about over in La Crosse?
Yeah, I think it's changed a lot, especially over the last 5 years. People see that there are needs in schools now that they want to make sure are filled. So we're giving away a lot more money for classroom innovation grants, and we also have a random acts of kindness fund. And with the economic crisis that's happening right now, we see a lot of kids in need. I think some of our schools have as high as 70% to 80% poverty rates. So those things like the glasses, field trip costs, graduation caps and gowns, yearbooks, school photos, any of the extras that a lot of us just write checks out and assume people can pay for their kids. It's difficult for more kids, and we want to make sure everybody has an equal opportunity to succeed in school. So we've seen the needs really increase.
Do we have the full impression as to what is going on in these school districts? Do you find people outside the foundation perhaps are not as well-versed as to exactly the needs are in the district? Would it surprise us if you sat down and listed out all the needs?
I think it would be very surprising to many people. But the other good thing about foundations is, I think as they become more and more popular, they sort of bring the needs to an awareness level, and people start to see what those needs are. So that's one of the many benefits of having a foundation.
Any sort of examples you want to give us sort of where your foundations did come in and, I guess, pay for what was needed? Lori?
Well, every year we give out our teacher grants where teachers can request money for projects that aren't funded by the school district, and they have some really fabulous ideas, and we try to help them buy the things they need to implement those in the classroom.
Anything that you hadn't mentioned before, Jeeva?
Yeah, you know, if I could give a couple examples. As far as the random acts of kindness go, we give about $20,000 to the principals each year to use at their discretion. In one example of a need that came up just right around the time school started, there was a family that was living in poverty, but they had a fire in their home. And so when the kids were getting ready to start school, they didn't have any of the school supplies or clothing items that they needed. And so the principal was able to use that money to provide those things for that family so that the kids, even though their home life was being disrupted, school was able to be a nice, stable place for them. So that's an example of a random acts need, and there are many, many needs like that that we fill. As far as the classroom innovation grants, we had a really fun project that we funded last year, and it was called One Community, One District, One Book. And the English teachers in both high schools sort of came together and made sure that all students were going to be able to read the same book, and it was a book called Mockingbird, and it was a book about autism. So they brought in different community members. Some people from Western Technical College that were studying to be teaching assistants came in and worked with the students in the high schools about what it felt like to have autism. They made a movie in their theater and drama classes that sort of acted out the book. They studied it in literature, of course, and many other content areas. So all students were reading the same thing, and it created empathy. So it's that interdisciplinary kind of work that teachers want to do that they don't always have the opportunity to do because of the expense involved. And then we brought the author in, and she spoke to the students, and she did a community performance. So parents could talk to their kids about what they were reading and talk about this really timely subject of autism and how it affects people.
We touched on this before, and I want to get back to it. It's education funding has been, I guess, rather unpredictable in recent years. Has the needs for the foundation sort of accelerated with the times?
Definitely, and we're giving away more money than ever. This year we've increased the amount of money we're giving in classroom grants to at least $50,000, and we're going to try to squeeze out a little bit more. We're in the process of making that happen now. Staff development's another area where we fund, because that's one of the first things to go. Schools, when they're cutting budgets, want to make sure that the money and the resources stay with the students. So those that help teachers, although it's important, are often the first to get cut. So we're increasing the amount of money we give for those as well.
How about over in Onalaska, Lori?
This year we're awarding $6,300 worth of innovative teacher grants.
Do you ever sort of sit down and do the math, like if we had the ideal amount of money, how much would we give the school districts to fill the needs? Jeepa?
Yeah, we dream about that often. You know, I guess it would be unlimited. It's really up to the teacher's imagination. The neat thing is that when you give these grants, not only does it make a fun learning opportunity for the students, but it also re-energizes teachers because they love doing the extra stuff that they normally can't afford to do. So I think their enthusiasm carries forward to the students. So, you know, every little cent that we can give away, I think, is important.
Does the average student have as much opportunity now that you've seen compared to when you were a kid, you went to school?
Some of the opportunities they have are wonderful. Like all the technology is an example. It's changing all the time, and it's a great opportunity for students, but it's also expensive. And we didn't have that when we were in school, but we want to make sure these kids are ready when they leave high school, that they're able to enter the workforce and have the skills they need. So we need to make sure, you know, they have those skills, but they come at a cost. And so it's very expensive to districts. And oftentimes, too, when a new piece of technology comes out, you need somebody to sort of pilot it and see how it can work best for students. And school districts don't have the money to take that risk. So we sort of see ourselves as allowing teachers to take a risk and pilot some programs, figure out how they can best be implemented, and then maybe when the school sees a success, they can sort of take on that financial burden.
For those unfamiliar with it, how do grants work?
Well, in La Crosse, we've gone through many different grant applications to try to keep them nice and simple. So mostly teachers, but sometimes students and sometimes other community members or other organizations can fill out a grant application. We accept them one time per year, and we have a committee of community volunteers and board members that goes through them and awards grants based on the things that the foundation values. And then we give the money out in January, and they have a year and a half to use them. And grants range anywhere from $100 up to, I think the largest we've given is about $8,000 last year.
How about on your end, Lori?
The process is that a teacher or administrator can apply for a grant. We do it once a year. The teachers, once we make a determination who's going to receive the grants, which unfortunately we don't have the funds to do all of them, we give out the money in December, so we'll be doing that soon, and then they have a year to buy what they need or get what they need.
You're listening to Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking about the increasing role of educational foundations in local school districts. Our guests include Jeeva Thole, Executive Director of the La Crosse Public Education Foundation, and Lori Berg, President of the Onalaska Foundation for Educational Excellence. How is money raised for the foundation?
Well, our biggest fundraiser is Taste of Onalaska, which is in January. We also are sending out requests all the time for donations. We try to get our businesses and our parents. We have a program called Honor a Teacher, where we ask parents to donate money in honor of a teacher that's done, you know, something for their child.
Jeeva, how about you?
We really rely on our community to make the foundation successful. So we do some direct mail appeals. We also have our corporate investor program where businesses can sponsor a particular aspect of the foundation. Like several businesses have decided to sponsor a particular classroom innovation grant. So maybe a business, for example, is excited about technology, we would match them up with a teacher who's implementing a project like that in their classroom. We also receive a lot of support from our school district staff. We have an appeal that we do to staff every year, and they're among our biggest supporters. They have money come right out of their paycheck, and it comes to the foundation, and we raised this year over $25,000 from the staff alone because they can see directly the value of the foundation in their classrooms. And then we also have a few events that we do, but really it's people who are excited about education or parents who want to thank their child's teacher for what they've done. They might give a contribution in lieu of a holiday gift or an end-of-the-year gift.
Who are the people that get excited about education there enough where we want to donate, we want to, you know, to the foundation? Are you finding that people are watching the news and stuff and they're seeing less and less funding coming from the state and it's, I guess, prompting them to act?
I think so. I think it's those people as well as people who have been educators in the past. We have a lot of retired educators and administrators who contribute. And also, I think it's business people in the community that want to make sure we have top-notch education in this area because they want to have workers coming to them that are ready to join the workforce and are skilled employees.
How about over in Onalaska, Lori? Are people psyched up to support education as well?
We're trying to get them psyched up. A lot of people in Onalaska aren't even aware that there is a foundation. So we've been trying to make ourselves known in the community. I think a lot of our donations come from teachers and parents who appreciate the quality of education that we have in Onalaska.
Is there a certain amount of disconnect when there's no kids in the system?
I think it is a harder sell. That's part of our what we're trying to do is make people aware of how important education is in Onalaska and that the community needs to support it.
I don't think they necessarily need to have a child in school, but it's people that support us are people who care about their community and want to see make sure we have a bright future.
Do a lot of people know about the foundation in La Crosse?
We've been working very hard to build awareness, and I think we're getting there. It's taken a long time, but I think people are starting to realize it. And also, there are a lot of education foundations popping up throughout the state just because of the funding, and or I should say the lack of funding. So they're popping up everywhere, and I think that helps build awareness as well.
Are you noticing that there are more educational foundations in the state? I mean, has it been especially accelerated over the last two, three, 4 years or
Definitely.
So?
Definitely. I bet I get a call at least once a month from an administrator or a community member from somewhere throughout the state that's asking questions about how to start an education foundation and how to raise money. In fact, we had so many requests a couple years ago. The La Crosse Public Education Foundation hosted a symposium in town for people who were interested in starting a foundation, and we had a lot of attendance. So we brought in speakers to educate people about what they needed to do to get this started. So yeah, we're going to be seeing more and more of them.
How do you get started on a foundation if it's somebody? I mean, both of you have, your foundations have a fair amount of history here. How would a community get one started? What's the first step? What do you advise them to do?
I think the first step is getting a group of committed people together that really care about education and that have connections in the community and can explain the need and show the need to other people so that they can get their resources together.
Is that hard to do? Because I take it your advertising budget is nil.
It's pretty small. And yes, it's hard to do, but if you have volunteers who are willing to, it's certainly not impossible. It can be done.
How is fundraising going in this economy? How's it going for you over in Onalaska?
I don't think it's going too bad. I mean, we have a lot of support there. And our Taste of Onalaska fundraiser last January went fabulous. It's a really a fun event, and the community is really backing us up.
How about you? Over in La Crosse.
Yeah, our fundraising is increasing in spite of the economy. We have more people making larger gifts, and it's actually going very well.
Why do you think it's going well? Are we just used to the bad economy, or what?
I think people see education as a way to fix problems. It's not a short-term solution. This is a long-term solution, and I think people really believe that this is something, if we make sure our students are prepared, they're our future. And so that's a solution to a problem, which is pretty refreshing.
What are the two biggest needs in La Crosse that need funding in the La Crosse School District?
I would say one of the greatest needs is making sure that all students are getting a good education. The issue of poverty keeps coming up again and again, and teachers are trying lots of new methods to make sure that every single student is being educated despite what's happening at home. And it takes a lot of individual attention with individual students. So that's definitely costly. I would say the other one is technology, because it changes all the time and it's very expensive, and you have to stay on the cutting edge of what's happening out there to make sure students have the opportunity to use it. And it's pretty cool what it can do. You know, the technology sort of goes hand in hand with educating students in poverty, because you can really individualize instruction for those kids, and that's something they're working hard on. So I would say the poverty and the technology are our two biggest issues right now.
Lori, how about you?
Definitely technology. Most of our requests have some technology involved in them.
What do you think the schools would look like if the foundations didn't do their work?
I think some of those extra activities that kids get really excited about, I always say they're like the hook that gets students excited about learning, might not be there. It might be more of the traditional kind of teaching that happened years ago. I also think teachers might be working harder and spending more of their own money to make sure some of those gaps were filled, because for the most part they're pretty responsible people and they want their kids to be engaged and excited about what they're working on in class. Another big hole would be that some kids would really struggle paying for field trips and paying for all those extras, you know, the shoes for track or the instrument rental, and maybe they wouldn't be able to participate in some of those activities because the foundation wasn't there to cover those costs.
How about over in Onalaska, Lori?
Oh, I think that teachers definitely would be dumping their personal money into the classroom.
Are there funding needs in the school districts that most of us don't know about?
The Education Foundation works really closely with administrators in the school district to make sure that what we're doing is useful to them. And we sort of have an agreement between us. The Education Foundation isn't going to cover the essentials, those basic needs, textbooks, desks, teacher salaries, because the school district really feels that that's their responsibility and they're going to make that work. We are covering those things that are the extras that maybe aren't essential to have students educated, but are certainly essential to make education more meaningful, more creative, more fun, and more engaging for students.
Anything else you want to add before we wrap things up? Anything we did not cover?
The La Crosse Public Education Foundation was really honored this year. We received a bequest from a woman who passed away, and we received about $120,000 from her, which is the biggest gift this foundation has ever received. She was a former teacher, but not in the La Crosse School District. She taught on the eastern part of the state, but ended up retiring here. And she was a single woman who left money to several organizations in the community, but we were one of them. And we just want to make sure people know that that's a giving option. Sometimes gifts don't happen now, but if you are planning ahead and are passionate about education, it's a beautiful kind of gift to leave to a school district.
A legacy sort of thing, if you will.
Yeah, exactly.
We have one thing that wasn't talked about. We do scholarships, and people can establish scholarships in a loved one's name, and then we keep the money invested with us, and then every year we hand out the scholarship money at the end of the school year.
Are both of you hopeful that one day a foundation will not be needed?
No, definitely. I think it would be the greatest blessing around, is if the foundation could go away and it wasn't needed anymore. But I don't see that happening. I see the need growing as opposed to being eliminated. Yeah.
I mean, you're always optimistic, but is it varying levels of optimism when you look 4, 5, 6 years down the line?
Yeah, I would.
You see the need growing?
I see the need growing, definitely. And that's why we're working harder than ever, and I'm sure Onalaska is too, to raise awareness and make sure people know that we're out there and this is one way of helping.
Lori, do you think 5, 6, 7 years down the line, there's going to be an accelerating need?
Yes, I do. That's why we're working so hard to raise more money, because we see the future that we're really going to need it.
Lori Berg is the president of the Onalaska Foundation for Educational Excellence. Jeeva Thole is executive director of the La Crosse Public Education Foundation. They talked about the role educational foundations are playing in K-12 schools with Wisconsin Public Radio's Steve Roysom. This afternoon, the Onalaska Foundation awarded 10 Claude Deck Innovative Teacher Grants, one more grant than last year. Thanks for listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Our production team includes Steve Roysom, John Gatto, Mary Meehan Stroob, and our senior news editor and producer, John Davis. To hear archives of this or other recent editions of Newsmakers, visit our website at wpr.org/lacrosse. In addition to Newsmakers, you'll find archived reports and special series produced by the La Crosse News Bureau. And if you'd like to comment on this week's Newsmakers or have a suggestion for future shows, you'll also find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/lacrosse. Newsmakers is also now on Facebook. Updates on future shows, links to our archives, and much more. Follow us at WPR Newsmakers on Facebook.